Weekdays, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
Yeah, hey, how are we, folks? Actually, at the time we're recording this, right, we know something you don't. Huh? Although by the time you hear it, you will know it.
Well, that's mad. I can't work that concept out at all.
Yeah,
feels like you've just described Back to the Future.
By the time this podcast is released, you will probably be aware, we'll have already said probably on air, that we've had fantastic news on the listenership figures for
oh,
the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we've gone up in the world. Thank
yeah,
you very much.
So
yeah.
The show, the station, everything's gone up in the world. So we should start with a thank you.
Well, yeah. So it's either a thank you for making us go up in the world or an apology for bringing you down in the world.
Yeah,
but either way, we're delighted
around.
To have you along.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever get, I mean, because it's very good for us because, as you said, in fact, earlier on in the actual show today, you were pointing out that we shared a lot in common with the great composer John Williams.
Yes.
In that he had been nominated for, I think it's 54 Oscars he's been nominated for. He only won 5 of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were saying we do have a great empathy with him because we, you know, regularly get nominated for things and equally regularly don't win them.
Very rarely actually win anything, especially if I'm involved. If I'm excluded from it, Jim has won plenty actually. It's just that I still am the only person.
No, do you know what the secret is? I just realised what the secret is. It's when you show up.
Yeah, that's true.
The 2 times we won the big breakfast award,
I wasn't there.
You weren't there. You never bothered even showing up.
Yeah. That's true.
Then the year you decided to come, we didn't win it.
Didn't win anything.
Anything. And we were nominated twice.
I had to go again and won that year either. And then I got nominated for the book awards this year and didn't win that.
Did you go?
Did.
There's your mistake,
yeah,
man.
I know.
Stop going.
Mental health awards. I wasn't even depressed enough to win that.
Yeah.
And then there was...
She didn't know where you were for
that. I didn't know what was going on when that happened. No idea what was going on. Yeah.
Was I there? I don't believe. I mean, no, I don't know where it was.
And in fairness, if you win one of them, is it really a win? I don't know. And then what was the other ones? There was the podcast awards we got nominated.
Yeah, we got nothing in that.
We didn't win that.
There's some international things. I don't know what way they were. And
oh, yeah.
We never got anything in that.
Yeah, some sort of thing. So it was, you know what I mean? It comes around every so often.
Then you start thinking,
just leave us alone, will you? Just leave us alone.
No, the best thing is... come on then. We don't want to turn into one of those people. The best are those ones who go, what are rewards? They're just popularity contests. That's not what it's about. Yes, it is about.
That's all it's about.
That's literally, you want to be as popular as you can.
Yeah, I'm sick of being the 4th most popular person in the fucking room at any one time.
So,
what I mean? Like, that's the thing. So I prefer to be just the least popular so you don't even get nominated at all. Rather than be nominated. And you know,
because you're right, it's the hope that kills you.
Yeah, and the having to pretend you're happy for other people, that can fuck off. I'm not doing that anymore. Yeah.
But you've never done that.
No, I haven't.
You've always pissed all over somebody else's successes.
Yeah, look at you, you shite bag. You would win all your mates buying them drinks all year.
Even people in here. Yeah. You know, your colleagues, your friends. Yeah. CD's at the winning an award.
How'd you win that? What? Are you joking?
Yeah.
No way.
You do. In fairness to you, you're authentic in your dismissal of people for their successes.
Just going to go, what are you talking about? You won that, did you? Yeah. Brilliant, yeah.
Mind you, I agree with you, because I do that thing. And again, you know, we may as well be honest. These people are often friends of ours. And you're scrolling through your Instagram or whatever, and they've got these posts up about things they're doing in their life or celebrating their careers or whatever they're doing. And you're like, oh, I'm sick of you.
Oh my God, you never stop going on about it.
That's exactly it.
Oh,
yeah, give it a rest, will you? Just have a fucking job. Move on.
Yeah,
will you?
Geez,
so watch you're on the radio. We're on the bleeding radio.
Some carpenter just going, look at me now, table. I did another one. Oh, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
And the thing is,
you can sit still for a while. Fucking something you made a career out of. Great, good luck. Thank God.
Imagine, it's the gas. It's a weird thing, the media, though. Imagine every time a guard did an arrest. Look at this fella, call him. Shoplifting round the Bank of Easons.
Exactly.
And your man's there, turn that off. Oh, look at him, he's raging.
Yeah,
you're going, 300 arrests this week. I'm ahead of all the other lads. Take that, Sergeant Padder Clancy, you bollocks. I'm lashing you out of it.
Exactly that. And all the other professions, you know what I mean? Every time somebody fucking, you know, waiter brought your food to a table, you had to be involved in a selfie. Another happy customer.
Go on, the desserts. Forced to finish his tables again tonight. All the other waiters are shy. You know, it's a weird business that you're in that constant, that's such a deep level of competition.
And self-promotion.
And in this business, everyone else is supposed to be, pretend to be happy for you.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
all the other guards wouldn't turn around and go, oh, well done. Fair. They'd be like, what are you doing that for, you weirdo?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know,
you never call anybody out in this business. Like, shut up, will you? So what?
Yeah, so what?
You would love to do it sometimes. Can you imagine? Oh my God, you'd be...
Yeah, you know when people...
And you'd be like a shite in a swimming pool.
Yeah, and people in this business, it's gas. I just got nominated for the New York Radio. I said, did you? Yeah. What's that about? And he goes, yeah, it's a really... So you have... It costs $3,000 to enter. You know these ones? You know these ones? There's awards like that.
Yeah. The ones where... And there are some of those awards where there's literally like a certificate or something for everybody who enters.
Everyone who enters.
It's like the equivalent of like kindergarten.
Yeah, it costs $3,000 to enter. And there's a whole panel of lads you've never met. And whose credentials are completely... And they're after saying that I was the best half hour of... pop radio music in the European Northern Hemisphere at the time. And you're like, did they? Yeah, you fucking idiot. You absolute.
Like when people give you that consolation thing of like, you know, but you made the shortlist. Yeah. Do you know what that means? That means they chose the winner, right? And then they thought, right, well, we have to, like, you know, because there's going to be, like, we have to get a dinner out of it. So we'll need a few other people just to pad us. So just pick any, whatever, just pick three or four of the other fucking idiots. Stick them on the list. Because we know who the winner is. That's all that matters.
But,
and anybody else then, you know, like, just whatever. Just put them on a short list. Or something.
Can they bring a friend? Yeah, for £260, yeah. And that's kind of how it works. Is somebody, because someone thinks up a night that they can make a load of cash out of, right?
Yeah.
So they say, I'm going to book this room and I'm going to do the Irish Puppeteer Awards or whatever.
Mm.
And so they nominate everyone they can think of as the long list. So then you, hoping to get on the short list, share it on all your social media.
Mm.
And you're like, absolutely honoured for me and Boss Kolf, my puppet, to be nominated, you know, hoping for the short list. And then when they sell a few tickets, they go, right, we don't need fucking him anyway, he's gone.
Yeah.
And they get a smaller circle who have bigger social media followers and they share it. And then they have it, they sell all the tickets, they get to the night, they give it to one lad, you've already bought the ticket. So you can't send them and go, I want me fucking money back for a start, because that person's shit. They just have 10,000 followers more than I do. This is shite.
You're right.
But you're seen as a spoil sport.
And the other one is, you know when you get those, the magazine ones, or the odd website ones?
Oh,
do you know those?
Yeah.
And it's like meant to be public vote.
Public vote.
And all that you're doing is they're getting all of the people who they've decided to gather together, right?
Yeah, yeah.
To do exactly the same thing. To do the sort of, oh, you can vote for me here. Here's the link. When, and basically it's just like a, whatever it is, a magazine or a website.
Yeah, how's your whole entertainment magazine?
Bringing people to them.
Yeah.
Promoting themselves by telling you to go out and promote it for a shit award.
So you get fucking idiots like you and me. Spending a month of our lives, well, would really
vote
appreciate
here.
A vote on how's your whole magazine awards for best broadcasters in our current field of middle-aged men doing their fucking best from 6 till 10 in the morning. You know, and you flog their magazine for a month
or so. That's what I'm saying. It's promotion for them.
And then you pay them £100 for a dinner and they go, right, lads, thanks for coming.
Yeah. Cheers.
Yeah.
Did we win?
No.
You fucking joke, you're shit.
Win? Not even. You didn't even get us enough followers that we're going to nominate you next year.
Yeah. Why do you think you're eating in the foyer?
Yeah, yeah. Take your McDonald's and fuck off. No one even wants you here.
Oh, man.
There's young, fashionable people in there.
Yeah, it's people who are going to look good in the photographs. Nobody's going to take a photograph of you looking like that.
Sorry, PJ.
You look like some fucking Pillsbury doughboy walking
PJ,
wearing the suit.
If you wouldn't mind sitting under the table today, that'd be great. It's just the photographs are going to look a bit shit with you in them.
Oh, man. You see? I think we've talked ourselves out of just about every future award.
Well, thank fuck for that, because you turn up with all these things and you really are a lot of the time just making up the numbers.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
One thing I love about awards nights, though, is there's always a fight. There's always a drama, because in our business, and we're not excluded from this, you are walking around with an ego, probably, you maybe don't deserve. So, you know, you do think you're as good as everybody in the room. Minimal.
Yeah.
Like, nobody's walking around going, fuck me, I don't belong here. I'm shy. Not in our business.
Yeah.
It's everyone's going around going, Jesus.
Most of us are going around going,
see the appeal.
I'm better than 80% of these fuckers.
How's that prick get away with? I don't see the appeal.
So it comes, I don't know how he's popular at all.
Yeah, so you put a free bottle of wine on every table, there's going to be a row. Yeah. Eventually, someone's going to say something to someone that's going to cause a row. And that...
Like a wedding, basically.
That, yeah. And that's always a bit of crack, you know.
Yeah.
See, you're still doing the shower there in your morning, Jim, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the best. Actually, that's the one.
I see, and you're still not talking much about ice hockey because you know fuck all of that, yeah.
That's the best one is the when they manage to get, you know, they do the, they get an insult in about, oh, yeah. You're still doing the, I was nominated in your category, you dick.
Oh, right, sorry, I don't listen to your show.
Sorry, I wasn't sure if you were still on.
You
know, with your age and stuff, I just wasn't sure if you were still going, that's all.
I mean?
You are still, well, that's great. Look, fantastic for you. Fantastic for you. Well done getting did you get nominated? I don't know. I wasn't sure if you got nominated.
Honestly, I thought you were dead, but it must have been another fellow of the same name. It must have been some other generic man I confused you with.
Yeah.
It could have been anyone.
Yeah.
It's just another one that could have been anyone.
Jim, good to see you again. Love your show. What time's it on?
Yeah, what time's it on? I remember going home, though. I was with you working for 6 years or something. We got nominated. And then I heard my ma saying to the neighbour, yeah, he's on that FM04. I was like, FM04. Even me ma doesn't know where I work. Even me ma
doesn't know
where I work.
I know.
I said, that's not what the station I work for. She was there, 9804, 504. What is it? I don't know what it is. You're like, yeah, that's grand. As long as you wish me the best, I suppose.
And it's, that's the thing about this business as well, is everybody assumes that, like, all the people that are in it assume that everybody knows everything they do and everything they say.
And the truth
of the matter is that you and I can both testify that literally when we leave here, we never listen to the feckin' radio again.
The clue what's going on.
We don't know where anybody is or who they are.
What's going on?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People, there's oftentimes myself and PJ are sitting at awards things and somebody will win it and we'll go, who's that?
who is that? Also, and I'll say this, and I know this doesn't make me look very good. You know, you go to these awards, you don't know who anyone is in the whole business because you're obsessed just with where you work, right?
Yeah.
I've met people who work here and thought, I've no idea who they are. I've met them at awards.
That hasn't happened at just awards.
Yeah, that's happened. It's happened in here. Thanks for coming in to see us, I said to a woman once. And she goes, I walk here. I was like, well, that's me fucking looking.
That was when we did the OB on the boat.
Yeah, yeah.
And that woman
said, thanks for coming in.
Listen, thanks for coming. Appreciate that. And she went, no, I work with the station.
She was literally being paid to hang out with us. And I still thought she was coming. Just to be nice. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, so there you go.
Yeah. Maybe what, yeah. Do you ever wonder, I mean,
this is how I know if I ever get sacked, Jim will never talk to me again. People literally have to be paid to hang out with me.
Stop. I mean, yeah. Come here, listen, the other thing is, I suppose it must have been the same when you're in your previous careers, like when you're in comedy and stuff. You know the way you don't do comedy anymore?
Yeah. Yes. Some would say I never did. And I will say this.
I love the,
and I hate
I love,
this fact.
I love the subtle knife in the background.
And I hate this fact. It wasn't the same. Because not only did I not hang around with anyone, but unfortunately before I met you, you bollocks, I was never nominated for fucking anything.
Excuse me, that is not true.
Best use
of a human head. You won that.
Best use of a human head, 1992.
There you
then
go.
Then I started doing comedy where I speak and I never got nominated for anything ever again.
You were doing silent comedy, were you once upon a time?
I was doing.
What, mime, was it?
No, not mime, but I used to be the pretend volunteer for Nausea. It was awful. It was awful.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Yeah. Best use of a human head, because I didn't say anything on stage.
I never realised that's what that award was for. I thought it was just because you had a funny head. You know what I mean? That looks like just, you know what I mean? It's funny to look at.
No, it was because I was the only comedian they knew that year that was getting on stage and not actually saying anything.
Wow.
Took me a couple of years to build up the courage to use my voice.
Was there many in that category?
I was the only nomination in the category.
Wow. Yeah. Fair play on winning it though.
Thank you very much. Oh, I did win another award.
Right.
I did. I won the Jammy Bastard Award.
Brilliant. Now we're talking.
Because I did a TV ad for a company that I'm obviously not going to say the name of now.
Yeah.
And the PR agency paid me. And the company paid me directly. And I got paid twice.
Brilliant.
And I got paid. I won the Jammy Bastard of Comedy Award. And there was other nominations in the category that year.
I tell you, that must be the only award where the actual act was better than winning the award.
Yes.
Literally, being paid twice. I take that over any award every day.
Yeah. And I did. It was a huge pot of jam. That was the award I won.
You see, that's quality. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you don't get stuff like that anymore.
Yeah, the thing is, I went out and bought a motorbike and crashed it into the back of a taxi. But hey!
Hey, all stories. It was an award, wasn't it? Actually, maybe that's what we need to do then. Maybe we need to start an alternative. You know the way sort of there's the Oscars for all the good people, and then there's the Razzies.
Yes.
Maybe we need, so there's the IMRO, or what are they called? The PPIs.
Yeah,
what are they
the Radio now? Awards. Yeah,
the there's the IMROs, PPIs, yeah. Radio Awards ones. There's those very good ones.
Yeah.
And maybe we need to have the Razzies equivalent so that we can pick up stuff for being a bit shit.
No way. No way. Because you know what will happen? You bollocks. You'll get nominated for the PPIs and I'll get nominated for the Razzies.
No.
Every year.
No, we're a team. We're a team.
We are. We'll and that's what we'll they'll do. Jim's going to go to the real awards and you're going to go to the fucking Aegis night. And we'll have to go.
I think we could clean up at the...
I don't want to win anymore. I'm done. I don't want to win. I've only won shit awards.
I don't know. Yeah. Some people are just plain ungrateful.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's give you a few of the bits and pieces that we had during the week on the show. This sounds very highfalutin and very high tech and sciencey and everything. We were talking about invisible string theory.
Invisible string theory, yeah.
Yeah.
What is it? How does it work? Oh, and it actually ties over with us two being stuck together. You'll get that.
Yeah. Exactly. The Chuckle Brothers made...
once again, another crossover.
Yeah, because actually one of them is dead.
Yeah.
But anyway, they came back into the kind of frame of reference, back into this public psyche again, because of a ghost, no less.
Yeah, I love this story.
Bizarre. Also, because we made benefit of having John, who is our producer and is from Ingerland, we made the best of having him around during the week because there was a fantastic story of people who are just aficionados of the motorway service station.
Yeah, yeah. And
he is one.
Knowing a man who knows his service stations was in this building, we couldn't let that one go.
And then also, possibly our favourite story of the entire week, Boyzone buying Chorley FC.
It's brilliant.
It was just the greatest story. We're hanging in there hoping for the TV series.
We're getting jerseys and everything. This is our new team.
We are full on Chorley fans from here on in. Anyway, listen, have a listen to this and we'll talk to you shortly.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Do you believe in fate?
Do you believe in fate? Well, wait till you hear this. So a woman, she's an influencer, so don't let that discriminate against her for a second. Jen Chia is her name. She's from Malaysia, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, she went on to do a video yesterday, and she says, I'm absolutely shaking. Something incredible has happened. And she said, I looking back through my old photos from 2011, and I took a selfie, just a seamlessly innocent, seamlessly normal selfie, going into the cinema, and just looking at saying, I'm going to watch a movie, whatever, can't even remember what the movie was, not important. And there's a man in the background, just minding his business, you know, and then she realised, my God, that's my husband. And at the time, she hadn't even met him. They didn't even meet for like 4 years after that. Then they got married. Now they're together. And she just realised, oh, we hadn't even met. And he's in my selfie. Isn't that remarkable? And then everybody started saying, it's called invisible string theory.
Is it?
So two souls are inevitably tied together from the day they are born. And you orbit each other's existence until you finally get the opportunity to say hello to each other. And from that moment on, you are tied as twin souls in the universe. And you should
who
never...
Who said all that?
People on TikTok.
Wow.
Invisible string theory.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd go out... Would the term coincidence come to mind at all?
Yeah. They do both live in Malaysia and everything.
I was just, you know, like...
Yeah, I don't know, Jim. I think you're making quite a flippant remark. I think that's how we got together, Jim.
Oh,
invisible
what?
String theory. Yeah, we were orbiting each other's existence for a very long time. Granted, you were alive for a long time before I came along, but you were only hanging around, waiting for your partner in life to suddenly arrive onto the planet. And then we...
So you're saying I'm inextricably tied to you?
For the rest of your life.
Oh, for the love of...
Yeah, for the rest of your life. We're both into... We were probably at events... at the same time we didn't know we were at.
No, no, that, that couldn't have been. Well, yeah, okay, maybe a football match, but certainly not an event because you wouldn't go to any. You never went.
That's why it took us so long to find each other. I wasn't doing what the string was trying to pull me to do.
Wow.
You know?
So, and this invisible string theory, why does it? I suppose it has to be invisible. It'd be a bit weird if you were physically
you
were tied to somebody.
You just follow it. You just keep pulling it. Bump into somebody and go, where?
So this is, so, and it only applies to two people.
It applies to two
you can't,
people.
Your strings can't be, you know, you can't be tied to a whole rake of people.
No, you can't be multi-strung, no.
Right.
It's like a sort of a twin soul experience, you know.
Right.
And she reckons she's like one of the first people ever to catch living proof, direct evidence of invisible string theory on her phone. She's like, you know, she's out there, the cutting edge. What scientists could say anything different?
I mean, I will
different?
Grant you, it is unusual. It is a sort of a, it is a bit of a sort of a moment.
It
I will
is.
Grant you that. That somebody that, you know, you're now kind of spending your life with was in a photograph years before you ever met them or knew that they existed.
Yeah, yeah.
You can read it that way. Or you can, as I say, you could go, what a coincidence.
Well, it is, yeah, but I've been going through all my photos here since I read this story to see if you're in the back of them.
Right.
And there's a couple of people, I was sure they were you, but they were all guys who were in jail now, criminals and stuff. So it's definitely not them. But I'll keep looking.
Wow. Because I was looking. Convinced you were just going to say, there's a number of times I was at the zoo when I was convinced.
Oh my God, well that's another one off the list.
I was just saying, look, it could just be coincidence. Other people have saying the term stalker comes to mind.
This is it. This is it, isn't
maybe
it?
Maybe, you know.
And like, that's kind of what happens in a lot of stalkers' heads, though, isn't it? They believe this sort of nonsense. And then they think if they just pursue long enough, then somebody will suddenly realise they are meant to be together. That's not the truth, you know?
Yeah, and Hannah in Cork had a not dissimilar situation. She said, my husband worked at a bar around the corner from where I was living about 6 years before we met. I'd been in the bar once or twice, so probably would have been served by him.
There you go.
But didn't know it at the time, obviously.
Invisible strings.
I mean, yeah, because like if you're in the general proximity of people
but
or whatever.
But that's it. I mean, this is just normal, isn't it? You just don't know.
Like,
just
it's not
someone.
Like that her and her husband came from completely different parts of the world and it was like the one day that he was kind of in that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You both lived in Cork. Like, you were bound to pass each other. Every so often.
Exactly, exactly. Also, on the subject of PJ's claim that maybe invisible string theory was at play in our friendship, that maybe, you know, we were destined to work together or whatever, and he was saying he was going through his photographs.
Yeah.
So Derek's just been on to say, so if PJ goes through his zoo photographs, that would qualify as a gimp looking for a chimp. Very harsh. Very, very harsh.
Like, imagine that.
Almost as harsh.
Great name for the show, The Gimp and the Chimp.
Almost as harsh as Mark and Waterford. You were talking about invisible string theory.
Yeah.
Whereas he says, PJ and Jim, due to your volume and mass, would that not be even invisible rope theory for you?
You dirty fecker.
Very harsh, aren't they?
Very harsh.
Very harsh.
I tell you, I feel like Jeremy Vine. I'm all insulted now.
Glory Days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
We often talk on this show about the kind of, you know, the long-held beliefs that people have in things like, you know, aliens or ghosts and ghouls.
Oh, I tell you.
Mermaids.
Ghoulies of the night.
Just things that, to be fair, you know, the people who kind of hold those beliefs, they do tend to be very... very ardent in them, don't they?
Well, that's true. And some people are not for shaking. And it's especially when they're serious people. So the Chuckle Brothers, Barry Chuckle and Paul Chuckle, they were very famous for their children's TV and everything like that, you know.
Yeah.
And poor Barry, he died in 2018. Well. Paul Chuckle is, you know, still alive. And he is living with his wife in this house. It's 380 years old. The toilet kept flushing randomly on its own. I mean, what do you do when that happens? Well, some people might call a plumber. He called us a paranormal detective. And they came around with their TV crew because they're going to put it in a TV show now called Help My House Is Haunted. And they came around and sure enough, thank God they didn't waste the crew's time. It is haunted. And it's haunted by a spirit of a young man named Daniel who was murdered by a burglar called Charles Pace in the 1870s. But not only is it just a boy... the burglar, he died of natural causes another time, but he's after moving into the gaff as well, because another woman called Sue moved in, and the burglars... It's very complicated.
Well, it is getting complicated and crowded by the sounds of it.
So now there's three ghosts and one of them, the young lad, he keeps flushing the jacks at all hours. And they found a small handprint, not full handprint, but a partial handprint, which somebody suggested maybe it was just a smaller part of what was a bigger handprint. No, they said, that's not it.
Okay.
And he says, listen, paranormal activity comes through my life. He says, to this day, when I go on stage and perform solo, my brother Barry jumps into my body and we perform together. And he says, they have this machine, the paranormal investigators, and it can translate ghost language into...
Corsican.
Our language.
Corsican.
And he said, you know their famous catchphrase? He goes, to me.
To you.
To me.
To you.
And the ghost said, rrr. And he goes, what's that mean? And the paranormal investigator says, you're not going to believe it.
It means to you.
It means to you.
Wow.
Undoubtable. And then he goes, and if you don't believe that, answer this then. My wife's dad died only a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And he never smoked, but his ma did, or her ma did. So we went to the house years later, and the house smelled of smoke, and he never smoked. Do you know what the thing is? He did smoke. He just told you he didn't smoke. All the time.
I'm not sure I even understand.
So he said he never smoked cigarettes ever.
Hang on a second.
And then he died, the house was full of... And when they finally visited the house, there was a smell of smoke on.
Yeah, which would kind of imply, if you were thinking, maybe it's nothing to do with him, because he didn't smoke.
It's like me saying, I don't drink, and then you come into my house and there's cans all over the floor.
And you go, see?
And the ghost, Jim. The ghost drank.
So hang on a second. So he says... It's a kid flushing, it's the ghost of a child flushing his toilet in the middle of the night.
Yes.
That's what it is.
That's what it
and,
is.
And that's not enough. Issue. There's additional ghosts. Yep. There's the burglar and the burglar's ma. Yes. Is that what you said?
The burglar and the burglar's ma, yeah.
And so the burglar's ma moved in. So he couldn't even burgle without his ma being there. Right.
Jim, it's a housing crisis. Do you know what I mean? Ghosts.
And then Barry... Somebody jumps into somebody else's body.
Barry jumps into Paul's body when he's
on
stage.
It's all very believable. And he has a special machine for translating ghost language.
Which happens to know his TV show. So these ghosts, even though they died hundreds of years ago, and his brother and all...
Did he pay these paranormal investigators?
Did he
pay? It's amazing what you do get what you pay for.
Doesn't say if he paid them, but it does say it will be on Help My House Is Haunted. Which seems to me to be the most scientific programme you could probably ever watch when it comes to these details. Yeah.
Somebody has just pointed out as well, Lisa says that anyone who has kids know they never flush the toilet, and especially not in the middle of the night. So, you see, there in itself is proof positive.
Yeah, he must be just a bored ghost then.
Yeah. It's the most bizarre thing, like... Why, again, surely you go to the place of, there's obviously something weird, you know, a plumbing issue or...
No, people don't. My favourite ghost story that we ever covered on this
and
show...
Have they ever walked into the toilet and watched it flushing? Just mean...
He says it's constantly trickling, which they can't really explain that either.
Yeah, of course, that is paranormal, isn't it? A trickling toilet. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Who'd have thunk it?
Constantly trickling, yeah. It's great.
And as I say, these people will be ardent. They'll be completely... You will not convince them it's not paranormal and that it could be something like a...
You can't.
A washer.
Do you remember we did the story of the man who was walking past a bunch of woods and he says, I heard a ghost. And he said, what was it like? And he says, it was someone shouting, F off you! And he never... And they went, were you sure it's not a man? He says, I looked, I couldn't see anything.
No, of course
he couldn't. And did you say it? And he goes, who's that? And the ghost says, I said F off! And he still... thinks it's a ghost.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Today we are being produced by producer John.
Good morning.
Sorry, I forgot to put your...
Thank you.
That's how... what sort of producer are you? You didn't even remind me to put your microphone...
I was wondering why you're waving my way.
Good morning, Jim. Anyway, listen. And John is... we dragged John in because he has a very important contribution to make to this story that we just found. In fact, I just saw a recent tweet from you about sorting out your Circle K account or something.
Yes. That's a personal matter, but thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
Well, there's a reason we'd ask you, though.
Is because you are our go-to guy when it comes to motorway service stations.
This is very true.
You have had kind of a... You've had a past where you've celebrated the great service stations of the UK.
Short-lived feature is what it was called. Right.
But it's back in vogue because now we've seen that the British Service Stations fan club are actively looking for the greatest service station in Britain. There's some apparently that are really good. They serve pheasant sandwiches.
Right.
There's another couple that say that they have like some of the most allowed. One guy said he got his whole Christmas shop done in a service station that he's yet to reveal because he wants it nominated for the service station.
So have you ever been part of a fan club?
I've not. I'd love to start a fan club now.
Right.
I'd love to. I'm disappointed that one's already happened.
Yeah.
Did you once
do a review of motorway service stations?
That's, well, one. It was you two, actually. I was working with you two. You sent me out.
Right.
To compile a list. We got through one before we ran out of... I think it was too much mileage, I think. We lacked commitment, really, on
that one.
Yeah, I know, but we did try. But I'd be happy to bring that back, if that's what you're asking me now.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Not really, actually.
As somebody,
we're just curious. Obviously, it must feel good to know you're not alone in terms of genuine appreciation of a good motorway service station.
In all seriousness, I've told you before, it's a British thing that you just don't get
here.
But
yeah.
Genuinely, there's so many people out there who are obsessed with where they get their petrol.
Well, can I run some of these bastions? Gloucester services, located between the 11A and the 12 on the M5, renowned for its stunning setting, excellent restaurant and unbelievable farm shop.
5-star, great place to get your petrol.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Are you familiar
with it? It's last year's winner, by the way.
Is it?
It's last year's winner.
Why not this year's?
Not this. Well,
Okay, sorry.
One user said, "It is an incredible touch of class. I go out of my way to go there every day." So he doesn't even need petrol.
That's
most
incredible.
Of the time.
I'm also still intrigued by the bloke you said got his entire Christmas dinner.
Yeah, his entire Christmas shop. He said he even got venison sausages with sourdough bread. Couldn't believe it.
Wow. That does sound quite highfalutin, to be fair.
So with you being an expert then, where's Ireland's greatest service stations? You do a lot of travelling around.
Yeah.
Kinnegad, Barack Obama Plaza, Portlaoise, what sticks out?
I would be a sucker for anywhere that's got a plaza in its name.
A plaza, that makes a big difference.
That's uniquely Irish as well.
Right.
I'd say, Barack Obama, anyone named after a president of any kind, I think gets an instant. There's a bonus 4 points for that alone.
Wow. Yeah. I think the Apple Greens have lifted the standard high, haven't they?
The motorway ones.
Yeah, a lot of those ones are pretty good.
Definitely have.
Yeah.
Like, we're still not...
What constitutes, by the way, a truly great motorway service station? It's a combination of factors, I assume, is it?
So many. You've got to go. It's what you've got to eat is very important.
Yeah.
Then there's the stuff to buy, the range of stuff in the shops. Whether the architecture is just depressing enough... And that's something that you haven't quite cracked yet. But if you're going to be stuck in the middle of nowhere,
where
you don't really know where you are, there needs to be an edge of kind of unhappiness about the place.
A melancholy kind of to it.
I will say I missed a ferry one year coming back. And we found a service station that had a hotel in it. One of those, you know, travel lodges was at the service station.
Right.
And you could see a view in the distance. You could see Sellafield. And I thought, this is this is good now.
So many people have ended up in those hotels by accident.
Yeah.
And there's
definitely
one.
Definitely we didn't go there.
There's one I can tell you where the hotel is not just next door. It's actually inside. So you open your windows in the morning and you're on top of a KFC.
That's
10 days on me back in that place.
Wow. Because your famous most recent service station was sausages in Kinnegad on a Sunday morning.
It was wonderful.
Yeah.
There was nobody there, Harry.
Wow.
It was great. Yeah, great place.
We might have to do that. We might have to task John with finding Ireland's greatest motorway service station.
There we go. Happy to do it.
Yeah.
Please.
We have a willing participant.
Please send as many emails as you can about service stations to john@nova.ie.
Mostly I'm going down to Wicklow, so if you could stick to that area, please. If you don't mind.
Joel, the editor, was on today. He was saying that we never made... Remember that we were going to make a film about the Christmas trees and the guard on the Christmas tree farm?
Yeah, I still think that's a great idea.
And all that stuff. He says, well, we never got to do it. He said, but there's definitely a TV show in searching for Ireland's best service station. From the pumps to the sausage rolls, you can count me in, he says. I'll contact RTE.
I swear to God, it's the greatest idea ever. And John is the man to host it.
Oh, I tell you. And service, you could do a great drama. You could do a kind of a version. Remember Tom Hanks did that thing, Terminal or whatever, where he was stuck in the airport?
Yeah.
You could do that now. You could pick a service station.
Plaza.
Plaza. That's it.
You're stuck in it. You can't get out.
You can't get out of it.
Nobody wants to give you a lift home.
Yeah.
You've no money. Fuel's too expensive.
You've no money to get the petrol to get yourself out of there.
Yeah, so you're living on sort of Smarties and stuff like that, yeah.
Yet another winner from the studios of PJ and Jim.
Jim Sheridan, you're welcome. You're welcome.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
You're probably very familiar with the story of Wrexham and Ryan Reynolds, movie star Ryan Reynolds and his buddy Rob. What's it? Rob, less famous guy.
Rob, less famous. That's
what's
definitely
it?
The
McElhenney,
name.
McElhenney. Yeah. Rob McElhenney. And they bought Wrexham.
Yeah.
And it became this huge, big sensation of, you know, they obviously had the TV series. And because they're like, because Ryan Reynolds and your man are like big stars, they obviously got a huge amount of attention and all that sort of stuff. And previously you had the lads who were the class of 92, they bought Salford.
Yeah.
And you've had other previous, you know, kind of celebrity owners, Elton John famously with Watford. You've had the Delia Smith with Norwich.
Yeah, yeah.
Now.
Best one ever.
Check this out, ladies and gents.
Boyzone are set to buy Chorley FC. Boyzone are on it. Then, and it looks
this
fantastic.
Is going to be fantastic. Tell me it's going to be a TV show.
Formed by Louis Walsh back in 1993. That's the band now, not the football.
Not surely.
Ronan Keaton, Shane Lynch, Mikey Gray, Keith Duffy have signed a lucrative deal in a business move similar to the whole sort of Wrexham thing. And it looks like they've bought shares in Chorley FC based in Lancashire. And
what league is Chorley FC in?
I imagine it's non-league, is it? I've looked at them here online. Charlie Football.
They're not
Club.
A pub team. They are in a league.
Oh,
they're not
in a sort league. Of like, yeah, yeah. Semi-professional team based in Charlie Lancashire. So they're in the sixth tier of English football.
Well, that's not bad.
So they're a little bit down the ways, but it's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
Is it going to be a TV show?
No talk of that at the moment, but I really hope it does. It'll be brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Does it say why the lads have a connection with Chorley?
Nothing at all. It's a game changer, Chorley say. It has the potential to bring the town into the limelight like never before. And there's a huge buzz around it. Imagine the Chancellor. B-O-Y-Z-O-N-E. The boy band club, Boyzone FC. It'd be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, yeah, they'll have to adapt all the songs.
Yeah.
You can't just do a version of Don't love me for one game. Love me for the season.
That's brilliant.
Let the season be good.
Let the season. Jim, this is brilliant.
I tell you, this is going to open itself up to. And of course, I hope they get involved in tactics. Right, listen, here we go. Right, we're playing four at the back. There'll be four stools at the back, right? So what you do is you step up off the stool with your right foot, right?
Yeah.
Cross over with your left foot. Bring your right foot back, right? And then come back to start. That's the move.
What's that? It's called the 4-4-2. That's what we call that dance move, the 4-4-2.
Yeah, great at it.
We're going to have four goalkeepers all dressed in white suits, sitting in stools. No one will score.
Now, look at you. You'll be kind of our Ronan Keaton, right? You'll be a star. You're going up front, right? You look a bit dangerous, so you're going to be Shane. You'll be a centre-half.
Yeah. Definitely a red card coming for the lads that represents Shane.
Oh my God.
So much going for us.
This
really
is going
does,
to be amazing.
It?
They are going to have a field day with the chance.
Literally a field day, yeah.
I can't wait.
I mean, you can.
When
just,
is it happening? Is it in time for next season?
It looks like they're going to the match this week. They're playing someone in an FA Cup clash this week. Solihull? I'm not sure how to say it. Solihull, I was told.
Oh, Solihull.
By John. Yeah.
Yeah. So are you saying Solihull?
Solihull?
Oh yeah, coming on after your earlier Lancashire.
I'm not very good at English.
Solihull in Lancashire.
Yeah, Solihull. Yeah, yeah. Sully old girl, she's been living in a sully old world. So yeah, but I just think it's fantastic. It could be so much fun to watch this and to follow this. And it gives Dublin people in particular a great
somebody
impetus to get behind sixth league football.
Someone has to make a blooming.
Has Virgin Media TV written all
They've
over.
They've got get to sign a deal and follow that. Can you imagine the kind of, like, even the team talks or whatever, Broyles will tell you. Now, I mean, I know we're not playing at Wembley, but I did. I played at Wembley, so I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
but you were singing. That's not the point.
It's not the point. Ronan, would you like to say a few words to the lads before they go out? Okay, did you get any of that? No.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at
InsureMyVan.ie. There you go, folks. Some of the bits from during the week on Morning Glory, which is the show PJ and myself do on the radio, Nova, just in case. Every morning, 6 to 10. Listenership jumped very recently, but we can always do it more.
Going up in the world.
So, what does your week ahead hold? Anything exciting in the week ahead?
This is the first week ahead. The next 3 days are insane,
right?
With work, and then it actually is going to get quite quiet for quite a while.
Which, by your standards, means only four things to do every day.
Yeah, that just
for a
means
week.
Raising twins and doing my regular day job. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so it's going to be quiet. Thank God.
And when's the next kind of like big public kind of thing for people? The Young Offenders, no?
Young Offenders, yeah.
Well, the BBC one.
Yeah, Young Offenders is coming out very soon.
When's your doc hitting screens?
Sometime in the spring, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, sometime, March, April, something like that.
Right, yeah.
Soon enough.
Must be great to be popular and everything, busy and...
How would I know, you award-winning bastard, you?
Why is it every time I try to give you a compliment or do you a favour?
Because
it's like when I suggested we could have done something on the stage and you ripped the head off
don't
me.
Get me
now
focused,
I just said to you, it must be great to be popular and you've had a go at me as well over that.
I'm writing a new stand-up show, solo show called Jim McCabe's a fucking bollocks. It's going to sell out everywhere around the country. And
will I get a ticket even?
And what's the best is, he'll win the fucking award.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.